Welcome to the Fat Yogi Show, featuring interviews with amazing fat yogis with compelling conversations about being fat and their yoga practice. These interviews create a space for inclusivity and support for fat yogis from all over. I'm Tiffany Crow, yoga instructor, fat chick, and now podcast host with a goal of giving power to anyone to say, I am a fat yogi. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey guys, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the show, and if you want to be a supporter, please do not forget to subscribe. Subscribing really helps the show out, as well as leaving a review. I would love to see some of your guys' reviews, even if there's some advice in there. I will read it online, you know. I just really, really, really would appreciate it so, so much. So, and then the last thing I want to ask you guys to do is to share. So if you're listening to this right now, screenshot the podcast and share it to your Instagram stories or your Instagram page and tag the show in it, the Fat Yogi Show. This helps people find the show so more people can listen in, and I would so greatly appreciate it. You guys are amazing and I love you so much. Thank you so much for supporting the show, and here's this week's guest. Today's guest and I met on Instagram. We became fast friends over our love for fat yogis. She is a wife, mother, baker, and a jam maker. When she has time, she likes to do yoga when she can fit it in. She's been morbidly obese her entire life and has learned to love herself while also being open to positive changes, like being able to touch her toes. Her friends call her Mill, and she goes by Melissa. So welcome to the show, Mill. Melissa, sorry about that. For some reason,
hey.
Cut off.
Where did we...
I was going off on a huge rant about my family.
You were talking about how just some of the things that your mom was saying. So, how she was saying, like, I don't know what's wrong with Melissa. Like, I try, but she doesn't do anything and stuff like that.
Yeah. So there is a list online that is like of 24 or so different characteristics that someone had written up that is just all about narcissistic mothers. And I remember sitting down with a highlighter and I highlighted something in all but two areas. And I mean, these are things like, gives your things away without asking. And like, I mean, there's always like the comparing you with your siblings, but not in like a positive way. Like, you know, somebody might, like, I wouldn't necessarily compare my kids, but if I was to say something like, oh, Philip, you know, your hair is a little bit more brown and William's is a little bit more black, you know, like,
right.
It's that type of thing of comparing, like, things that don't matter. But my mom would do things like, you know, Alan got an F in Spanish class. And, well, Melissa got an A in Spanish class. So why don't you try to be more like Melissa? So yeah. Using me as the golden child in that moment and treating Alan as the scapegoat and trying to make him feel bad. So that way he uses someone to have his aggression towards that's not her.
Right.
And then another thing that she's done my entire life is make comments about my body and my weight. And even as young as I was on my first diet in the third grade, I remember being these three by five index cards. And I had this little folder. And at the beginning of the day, everything was in the left side of the folder. And then throughout the day, if I had fruit or vegetables, I would move the corresponding color card to the other side.
Oh my goodness. I remember this.
And I mean, I was on my first diet in the third grade. No matter what size I was,
I hadn't even gone through puberty yet, and I'm already on a diet. And
that's
so
insane.
I've been basically raised my entire life to believe that the only way to be motivated about losing weight or even taking care of yourself in any way is to hate yourself, to hate your body, to hate yourself thin. And thin is desirable. Thin is the only thing that you should be. You know, like my mom always said things like high school was the best time of her life. And I remember growing up thinking, if high school is supposed to be the best time of my life, I might as well commit suicide, because right. high school was the worst time of my entire life.
Yeah.
And she talks about it. She still talks to her friends from high school. She thinks Carruthers is heaven on earth. And I'm not saying anything bad about the town itself. The town is fine. Some of the people, I don't care if I ever see them again. Because they bullied me in high school, or they, like, maybe I went to them to try to tell them this is what's going on at home. You know, we're getting abused at home. And anytime one of us would bring something up about what's going on at home, our parents would almost like gut reaction say something about, well, you don't want CPS to come, do you? You don't want them to take you away. They're going to take you away from each other.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's the type of crap that we had to deal with as kids. And like, sometimes I'd get home from school and the first thing my mom would say is how fat I am. And then I would just go to the pantry. She would buy these huge boxes of Oreos from Costco. And it like had like 10 sleeves of Oreos. There's probably like 12 Oreos in a sleeve. And she would buy them and she would, you know, lecture me. Don't eat these Oreos. These are for Christian, my nephew. These are for Christian. Don't eat these Oreos. Then she would make a comment about my body and how I have no willpower, no self-control, no this, no that. I would go to the pantry, grab a tube of Oreos, slide them up my sleeve, walk back to my room and eat the entire thing on my bed.
Wow.
So that's when I started developing binge eating.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is like super common for kids when they don't know what to do. That's the only outlet they have, pretty much.
I don't know if back then my mind was thinking, oh, I'll show her by getting fatter, or if it was just me going, well, maybe the Oreos will make me feel better. The Oreos will make me feel loved, or I don't know. Like, it could have been all three of those things. Right. But I just know that it took me a long time to get where I am now. And where I am now is I basically got to the point where I was sick of being in a diet. I'm always on a diet. And why am I always on a diet? Why am I losing the same 50 pounds and gaining it back over and over and over again? So I decided to try out intuitive eating for a while, and I still don't feel like that's 100% the right answer for me, but I feel like it was necessary to happen in the course of things, because I went from thinking that I was broken and that there was something wrong with me. I have no willpower. I have no self-control. I can't, all these things that diet culture tells you, you're not doing it right. You know, why did you gain weight? Oh, because you ate the cupcake. I can eat the cupcake if I want to eat the damn cupcake.
Right.
So that's what intuitive eating has taught me, that I haven't binged in, I don't even know, like 8 months since
that's
I switched.
Amazing.
Since I switched to intuitive eating, and now my mindset is more in this wave of, I'm not doing specifically intuitive eating. What I'm doing is kind of like a morph of that, with also trying to love myself and know that it's okay to want to change in a positive way, be more flexible, be able to run with my kids, not to have body limitations. And I'm not saying that I'm going, oh my God, I'm fat, I'm miserable. I'm not miserable. I'm totally happy being the way I am. But whenever I struggle to reach the seatbelt, to put the seatbelt on in the car, that's an issue.
So I'm working on trying to gain back some of the flexibility I had in my youth while also losing some weight. But having said that, I'm not sitting here going, oh, I want to be in this spectrum of the BMI chart, or I want to be, you know, this size or something. I don't even have a set goal weight in mind. Whenever I work with a dietitian, and whenever she asked me, what does success look like to you? And I said, I don't know, lose something like maybe 50 pounds. But I'm not sitting here going, yes, exactly 50 pounds.
Right.
I'm not even saying, yes, exactly 30 pounds. I don't even have like a real number in mind. My mindset is just keep doing the healthy things. Eventually the weight will move on its own.
Yeah.
So I don't look in the mirror anymore and go, ugh.
Good.
You know, and that's big progress, because I used to look in the mirror and immediately start picking at everything, like every mole or every lump or every roll, you know. And now I look in the mirror and I might make note of something, but it's not usually, it might just be like, was that mole there yesterday?
Yeah.
Do I need to get that checked out?
Right.
You know, or, ooh, I can improve my posture. You know, I feel like I'm hunching over and I can see it in the mirror. You know, those are the types of things that I notice where it's just, could I be taking better care of myself? Oh, most definitely. But I'm learning. I'm learning too. So my dietitian said, we need to change your language from I'm trying, because it sounds like you're setting yourself up to fail already.
Yeah.
She says, say I'm learning, because it's coming from an optimistic place and you're learning to take better care. You're learning to take care of.
I love that. I love that. And thank you so much for sharing the kind of past that you've had with your mom, and that I know whenever I talk about those types of things, it's like, those same feelings and emotions get brought up, and you know, to create that space for people is much appreciated, because I know somebody can relate to what you were saying about having a narcissistic parent and for them to do the same types of things that you were discussing. You were talking about her. It's very relatable for a lot of people.
I think that there's more people out there that, like, I didn't come to the total realization that this is what my life was, as far as my family, my child, and my childhood. I didn't really come to that realization until I started doing therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that therapy is the answer for everyone, but I do think that a lot of people would benefit from talking to someone.
For sure.
Even if it's not a therapist, it's a friend you trust, it's an aunt or an uncle, or just somebody you trust.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody. It could be your spouse. It could be your dog. I mean, talk right. to somebody. Get it out. Do some research. You could even, I know people will create like a bogus account on like Reddit and will ask for advice on Reddit. So, yeah. I mean, just talk to somebody. I remember I started going to therapy because I was terrified I was going to be a mom just like my mother. And I was scared. I was so scared about having kids.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, growing up, Alan, my brother, would often say, you're just like mom.
Oh.
And I remember always being like, oh my God, take that back. No.
Right. Yeah.
No. And so I grew up kind of believing, what if I am? What if I am just like her?
Yeah.
It took several years of therapy to realize that I'm nothing like my mom.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
And I developed OCD because of the type of relationship I have with her.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of things do you kind of need to control?
Well, I have a couple of compulsions. One of them is constant skin picking.
Okay.
I actually will pick at my fingers. I'll pick at my face. Whenever I'm particularly anxious, that's something that I do a lot. I also, they consider what I do. My therapist considers what I do checking, but what happens is I get in my head a lot sometimes, and like, say I'll text my sister-in-law, and then I don't hear from her for like 3 or 4 days. And then I go, ooh, did I say something wrong? Is she mad at me?
Mm-hmm.
And I start to obsess over it and obsess and obsess for like, I mean, we could just be talking like an hour. I'm obsessing about it so much. That's all I can think about is, did I do something to upset Jamie? What did I do? Well, the last time I saw her, I did this. Well, I don't remember why I did that. Well, maybe she thought I meant something by it. So then I end up just caving and either texting or calling her and saying, are you mad at me? That's the checking, where I look for someone to tell me, oh, no, everything's okay. We're fine.
Yeah.
And it can just be as simple as, you know, I know in reality she got busy. Right. She has a dog. She, you know, she has two dogs. She has kids.
Yeah.
She has her own life. In reality, I can look back at it and go, she was, you know, she was busy living her life. She's not sitting there obsessed, like with her phone, needing to reply to text messages. But because of my OCD, if I'm awake, I reply to text messages within 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You will always know that with me. If you text me, I'm replying immediately.
I mean, it's very reassuring whenever I receive a text from you. I'm like, oh, there she is. You know what I mean? It's like, you're ready and going, which I appreciate. You know what I mean?
I hate the feeling of being left hanging.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I hate it so much, I don't do it to other people. Even if I go, you know what? I don't know the answer to that right now. I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
You know? So I always touch base with people. I'm always like, I'm on it. I try to reply. Even in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and be like, oh, I can't fall back asleep. And I might reply to a text at like 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
because I just happened to get it. I'm that type of person. The moment I get it, I want to reply.
Yeah.
So that's definitely an OCD thing. Yeah. Like the other day, I mean, well, this is a while ago. My mother-in-law was like, but I find that OCD is only helpful. And I'm just like,
oh,
yeah. I don't think that it's helpful that I pick at my fingers. And sometimes I've gotten infections in my nails because I won't stop picking at them sometimes. And if I do have an infection, please know that I do wear gloves while I prepare bread or I jam. But sometimes I will pick so bad that I'll have a sore and I'll just be like, oh my God, I have to wear a glove today or else I'm gonna, it's gonna be gross.
Yeah.
So I'm always hygienic, but that is one of my OCD symptoms is just, I pick at my fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wow. Yeah. I mean, that probably comes from needing reassurance. Like, your mom gave you love in that way, but then if you didn't get it, then you were a bad kid or something. You know what I mean? In that narcissist way.
Yeah. I mean, even as a kid, I picked at my fingers. I mean, she was always like, stop biting on your nails.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, no. Like, I even had, they say that a lot of kids had with OCD when they were young, a lot of them have imaginary friends. I had one.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, I've had OCD since a young age. And when I was in high school, my parents were convinced that I had like severe depression. And so they forced me to see a therapist that basically said, oh, yeah, you're right. She's depressed. So let's put her on medication. Except the medication that they put me on was citalopram 10 milligrams. So basically, it didn't do anything for me or my mental health.
Oh, wow.
In order to treat OCD with citalopram, you need to be on 40 milligrams or higher.
Wow. So you just basically were taking medicine just for fun.
Oh, and according to my family, my parents specifically, I didn't have as many insane outbursts on the medication. And I'm just going, when did I have insane outbursts?
Yeah.
I mean, I was never like, I mean, I was probably more passionate as a teenager than I am now, but I'm the type of person now where my mom tries to fight me in some way, like tries to argue with me. And I just go, you know, Mom, you're right. Even if she's completely wrong, you know, Mom, you're right. Yeah. And I just walk away.
Yeah, you
because
have to.
I know that it's not worth the battle. It's not worth me trying to say, oh, you are so wrong and I'm going to tell you why.
Right.
Like, it's not worth it. It's just, it's not. And I mean, whenever I was younger, I was a little bit more naive and stupid about that. Right. And thinking, you know, well, my mom's always right, no matter what. And my brain's going as a teenager, oh, but maybe I can finally get her to understand or finally get her to see my way or yeah. finally get her to understand the kids bully me at school and you're bullying me at home. So I have nowhere to be me.
Right.
I mean, I used to, I never did any, I don't want to say like crazy self-harm because where would you draw the line? But I used to claw at my face and claw at my wrists a lot whenever I was a teenager. And it was just, there was one time I clawed at my face and ended up going off-roading while I was driving because I was stressed out at my mom.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, this is the type of childhood that I had. And, you know, my mom likes to act like, you know, to complete strangers that don't really understand the family dynamic. She'll say stuff like, well, I just don't know what, you know, what I've done wrong, but Curtis won't talk to me anymore. And, you know, Melissa's blocked my number for 3 months. And I mean, I don't have it blocked right now, but I did have it blocked for 3 months and I refused to talk to her for a while.
Wow.
And I just didn't want anything to do with it anymore. And since then she's been better. But there are some ways that she's kind of slipping back into her old ways.
Yeah.
And right before this started happening, she was claiming, I don't know if it's true, but she was claiming she was trying to get into a therapist. And the issue I have with this, first of all, is we have no proof. And second of all, my therapist points out that typically narcissists don't go to therapy because they don't think there's anything wrong with them.
Right.
They think everyone else is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. How about, so what's your relationship like with her right now?
Right now, I just kind of try to avoid as much contact with her as possible. But, with COVID, I don't see her as often as I was for a while, but I mean, before COVID happened, sometimes she would come over and watch the kids. So watch one of the kids so I could take one kid to speech or one to school or one here, or one there. And, I personally try not to spend much time with her by myself.
Yeah.
I usually like to have a witness and it sounds really, really screwed up, but I like to have a witness because later I can be like, so I'm not crazy, right? You did hear what she said to me.
That's
okay. Yeah. You heard the tone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, thank you so much for sharing all this because I do feel like this will be helpful to a lot of people, like hearing your story and what you've gone through and everything because, yeah, there's so many people who might not even realize like that person in their life might be that type of a presence and it's really bad.
And the sad thing is it's everywhere. Yeah. I mean, I don't like to get political, but sometimes I think Trump is a narcissist.
Oh, for sure.
And
for
I mean, I've
sure
I've met people, I've seen, like, I don't know if you watch like The Bachelorette or anything, but there was a season that had this guy named Luke P, and he was definitely a narcissist. Oh, he was on Hannah B's season and he was just constantly putting her down for anything and I mean, just trying to control her, trying to manipulate her. And I just remember sitting there going, oh my God, if my mom like watched this, she'd be like, go on, Luke P, you win. You tell him.
Oh my God.
So They tend to bond.
Oh, yeah.
The narcissists, they tend to link together and bond. That's why my mom loves Trump. Loves Trump.
That makes a lot of sense, for sure.
Like I said, I don't try to get too political, but there are certain things that you see that you just kind of go, did he say that or did my mom say that?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I literally heard him say the other day he was giving the farmers $16 billion, right? So kudos to him. And I mean, that was the message. But he had to, like, convey it by saying, but, you know, no other president has done this, which makes me the best person ever. And, like, you need to be, like, all for Trump, right? Trump's the best. And this is, like, the words that are coming out of his mouth. It's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Trump is the best was the sentence ? So I just was like, what? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
No, you're not the best. Like, you can't throw money in my face and tell me that I have to love you.
Well, he wanted to sign the checks personally that were from, you know, the what did they call it? The, oh, geez. The checks that, like, everybody got. I don't remember the phrase. Stimulus. There you go. The stimulus. He wanted to sign them personally so that way we knew that it came from him. And it's like, it didn't come from you, for one.
Right.
For two, I had people, like, I want to unfollow on Instagram on one account. Seriously, on Jams by Melissa. I try not to get political. I leave politics off that page. Because I don't think that politics need to be the thing, but but somebody was going on and on there saying, if you cash that check, he's your president. And I'm like, he didn't do anything. He didn't come to my house and personally count out every dollar from his wallet.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And I mean, every year we pay taxes regardless of who's president, so
right
I totally feel you on all that. How about yoga? How's yoga going for you? Tell me about that.
I try to find time every day to at least do a few stretches, even if it is just for like 5 minutes, but like sometimes I'll be like, oh, I have time, William's distracted, I'm gonna sit on the ground and stretch out my legs and maybe do a little bit of cat cow, and then all of a sudden he's going, woo, cowboy, riding on my back.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to find time to do a lot because I have to just kind of weasel it in through my day. But like just today I was making jam, and at one point my back and my shoulders were feeling kind of sore, and I did one of the videos that you posted, I think, on your stories, where you said to just grab the counter and like slide your head down, like kind of bend at the waist. And I was just like, oh my God, this feels so good.
Yes.
So I just try to fit it in when I can. And even if sometimes I just do it after the kids go to bed, I'll just, and I try to record a time lapse video every time I do, just to kind of keep myself encouraged going, oh, yeah, I actually am doing it more often than I think. It's just that sometimes it only feels like I'm doing 2 minutes here and 5 minutes there. And it's just, and I also just recently got Just Dance, which is a ridiculously fun video game. And to play with the kids, they love it.
Okay.
Even William doesn't even get it at all. But he'll still stand there and like shake his little booty while you're dancing around. So it's a great family activity. But yeah, I definitely need to find more time for me. I'm what they call an obliger, where I tend to put everyone else's needs before my own.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to retrain my brain to realize that it's okay to put yourself first, because if you don't put yourself first, how can you tend to others?
It's so
just
true.
in the concept of putting on an oxygen mask when you're going down in a plane.
For sure.
You can't help other people if you're dead.
Yes.
So I'm trying to make more time for self-care. I'm trying to make more time to even just lay back on my fitness ball once in a while and pop my back. I mean, just anything that I can do. So I'm trying to... For a while there, I was getting like 15 to 20 minutes of yoga a day because I was going, oh, I'm motivated. I'm doing it. I'm keeping this promise to myself. And then COVID happened. Right. And then it was just like, well, everything feels like chaos right now. So what do I do? And just since then, it's been like the 2 minutes there, 5 minutes there. I'm going to run back and plop my back on the stability ball. I'm going to go outside and chill in my garden for a little bit, you know, maybe meditate for a few minutes. I try to find the time when I can, but I do struggle with doing the floor exercises because William tries to climb on my back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I thank you for like being completely honest about it because yeah. I feel like there are so many people who don't realize like if you even just take 2 minutes to like breathe and move in a stretch that feels mm-hmm. good in your body, like that's still right. doing yoga.
Right. And I mean, if I'm only peppering in like 10 to 15 minutes a day throughout the entire day, it's still yoga. Even if I can only find 2 minutes of peace in that one moment to do one stretch.
Yeah.
I'm totally. Doing it.
Yeah.
And I mean, being a mom and feeling like you're a super mom because you put everyone else's needs first, it can definitely be a challenge to yeah, find that time.
I was going to say, like, the season of life you're in, it's similar to where mine is, but because I have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, so I feel you on the kids just being all-consuming. So to find even, I'm surprised we could find an hour for each other to even chat, you know, because they want our attention at all times, so...
I totally get that.
It's just that season of life, and this is a hard one right now. And my daughter turned 2 like 2 days ago, and I literally was like, to my husband, like, okay, we survived. I was like, it's supposed to get easier, right? This is our last one.
Well, I feel like in certain ways it has gotten easier for us, but it's gotten like different. It's not even like, it's not like it continues on that same path. It's like your path takes a fork and then all of a sudden you're shifted over here a little bit and it's just different. It's not necessarily harder or easier. Right. It's just different. And I don't know if it's because my kids are special needs, but I mean, there's always that moment where the road just stops. And then like for a few days you're going,
right.
Well, where do I go from here? Like, I mean, I don't expect everyone to know, but like with Philip, he's autistic. He's 4. He's not completely potty trained yet. I mean, he can take his bladder, you know, he can empty his bladder in the toilet, but we are not there with the poop at all. I mean, for a while he was starting to entertain the idea and then COVID happened and everything literally went to shit with the schedules and like school wasn't happening anymore. Routine was gone out the door. There's no such thing as routine anymore. Like they don't go to school every day. They don't, you know, Philip doesn't go to school. Mm. Philip doesn't see his classmates every day. He sees them on Zoom like 2 or 3 days a week, but it's not the same thing. And so we're thinking in our heads, well, this is like one of those things he thinks he can control in the situation. So we're basically back to square one with part of the potty training. But I mean, that's where I'm saying like the road will just stop abruptly. And it's like, okay, well, now we have to stand here and wait for the road to, there's an opening over there to the left. You know, like it's just, I say that parenting is so difficult. Like everybody has a map that is like the imaginary map of parenting, except that map and my map don't look the same. They look similar. They look similar so that like you can give each other parental advice, but like maybe I'm looking at mine upside down and you're like tapping me on the shoulder going, hey, Mill, flip that map over. You know what I mean? Like it's just, and since becoming a parent, like you don't even understand that other parents are totally rooting for you. They're totally like, I will give you advice if you come to me. I will tell you what I think, or I'll tell you what worked for me. Or maybe I don't know what'll work for you. I'll just commiserate with you. You know, like, parenting is a totally different thing than I ever thought it would be.
I just gotta say that.
It's
one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, you know, and I've ran a marathon. Okay. So yeah, I mean, I've done huge things in my life so far in my 36 years, but like, I think parenting that's even bigger and harder than anything else. And my kids are only 2 and 6. So I know I have other, you know, hurdles, but yeah, like right now, the season of life, it's just a rough one, you know? So.
It is. And then we have all this stuff going on with COVID, throwing that into the mix. And it's just like, how do I find time for myself? How do I find, you know, and then like, I don't know if you're like me where sometimes you go, well, I could totally take like 10 minutes right now and like go chill out in our room, read a book for a few minutes, stretch, do some yoga, you know, meditate, but I'd leave the husband with the kids. And what if they need me? Like, that's what I do where I just go, what if they need me? And I'm like so immersed in what I'm doing, I don't hear what's going on. Or like, I'm the type of person that goes, well, I can't go on a walk right now because then I'd be away from the house. What if somebody needed me? And it's driving me crazy to think like that. Like, I'm trying to break that. Like, it's part of my OCD where I obsess and go, what if something happened? What if somebody needed me? Like I said, the OCD is huge.
It definitely creeps in into places you don't realize, you know, and now that you're a parent and you've been a parent, it's like, you know, the best way to like do all the things for your kids. So of course they need you like at all times. And
right.
Like, especially if they have special needs, you know, you feel even more like compelled to be there for them. So
And it almost feels like selfish sometimes to think, oh, but I just need 10 minutes or I'm just going to go on a walk around the block. Like John and I talk about it all the time where sometimes we feel like even just taking a shower can feel selfish. And I'm just but it's really not. Like it's not really selfish because you're trying to take better care of yourself. And if you're taking care of yourself, you know, you're learning to take better care of yourself. So you're learning to take better care of yourself. Then you can also, in turn, teach your kids how to take better care of themselves. And then also show them, look, mommy knows how to take care of herself. You know, mommy is calm and supported. And mommy's not going to yell at you because you're tugging on her shirt right now. Because...
yeah,
mommy had a 10-minute break. You got to scream into her pillow.
And sometimes that's all you need is just 10 minutes of screaming in a pillow.
Yep.
Definitely. I'm laying in my closet
Sometimes I do record the podcast in a closet, just considering the outside factors. It's the quietest place in the house sometimes, so understandable.
Yeah, I've never laid in my closet before, so and like now I'm realizing that it's actually kind of relaxing. I might do this more often. If it was bigger, I would do yoga in here
mine too. Because like I have recorded several episodes, and I'm like, it's not that bad. Like I could be in here for a while.
I mean, it doesn't smell bad because there's no hamper in here.
It's quiet. It's like, nice. You know, diffused of sound because of the clothes and everything.
Yeah, I'm liking this.
So for yoga and where you're at right now, how long have you been practicing?
I actually did my first yoga class in college at Fresno City College, and I don't even remember the year, but it was before like 2005.
So like 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I haven't been like a consistent practicer because like I did prenatal yoga when I was pregnant with Philip, and I had been doing some yoga at GB3, which I did not particularly like. I have issues with taking classes. It's a personal struggle as far as back then, I still had a lot of the body hatred. And so I would try to do yoga in a classroom full of all these very beautiful, thin, like, teen, 20, early 20s girls. And they're bending like a twist tie. And I'm sitting there going, you expect me to do what? Like, I'm just going, no, my foot can't go there. Like, and it was like a lot of self body shaming, like nothing against any of these beautiful women that like, you know, were taking better care of their bodies than I was at that point. But it was a lot of internal self shaming going, how did I get myself to this point that I can't even do this? Like, and every time that I go through a period of an absence of yoga, I go through that period almost again, but it's not from a place of hatred. It's more just a, well, if I had kept it up, maybe I would be further along, but you know, I have to climb the ladder again, and it's okay. It's okay to climb that ladder again. Like, I've done yoga enough throughout the years that I don't even necessarily have to follow a video to know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know all the terminology. I don't know what like the technical term is of like, say, downward dog.
You mean in Sanskrit.
But I know how to do downward dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So like, I don't know like the technical, you know, beautiful terms, you know, like I can't even pretend to pronounce one because I just like at GB3, they would say those terms, but that was so long ago. The last time I was in a GB3 yoga class was like over 4 years ago. So, the last actual yoga class that I took was when I did prenatal yoga when I was pregnant with Philip, and Philip is now 4. So that's why I know that I haven't been at GB3 since then. Because I always knew that my kids were special needs, especially with Philip. I mean, we always kind of had a hankering, a notion, I guess, that he might have been autistic from probably about 6 months old. So we didn't feel safe just dropping him off at the GB3 daycare. You know, we didn't feel safe just going, oh yeah, let somebody else we don't know take care of him for a little bit so mama can get her yoga on, you know. And because of that, it just, I fell into this routine of, well, for a while, I'm just not going to do anything, I guess, because nobody can watch the kids. And then it got to, well, I could go do it, but then it would take away from family time. Like when John gets home from work, I could go do it and then come home and have dinner. But then like, I feel like I'm cheating myself out of being with my family at the same time. So it starts to play with a lot of those dynamics of when can you make time for yourself? And that's whenever I realized that I don't really have a class to practice. I can do it on my own. And even if I can't think of a flow sequence that makes sense to me, there are videos all over YouTube.
Yeah. How do you feel about like being a fat yogi? Like, do you love your body right now?
I love my body, but I'm also accepting the possibility of it changing, but in positive ways. Like being able to stretch in ways that I haven't been able to stretch in years. And even like I was saying earlier about being able to reach the seatbelt in my husband's car, I struggle with that. And I would like to keep doing the appropriate exercises to work on things like opening my chest and my shoulders. And I'm open to changes, but the changes that I'm open to are optimistic. So they're positive changes. I don't really know how to word it. I just know that I'm not in a negative place with my body anymore. I'm not in a shameful place. My mind just goes, I can't do this right now, but I will eventually. I will keep practicing and I will keep doing what I'm doing and I will be able to do it eventually. But, you know, even if I can't do something eventually, like one of my goals has been,
I want to be able to sit with my legs spread and just be able to rest my elbows on the floor. And I can get my elbows on the floor for like 2 or 3 seconds, but I can't just sit there comfortably. And I used to be able to do that as a kid. Right. I mean, I could do the splits every which way and I could jump in the air and touch my toes because I was in dance lessons. And I mean, someday I'd like to maybe get back into tap dancing, but that's like a someday thing. But I just try to take it a day at a time and I try to do the same type of stretches, not necessarily every day, but maybe every couple of days. So that way I'm constantly thinking about, okay, what are my goals? What do I want my body to be able to do? What do I want to accomplish? Instead of just going, I'll just sit down and do some random stretches. I try to research like, okay, what are the best chest opening exercises? What is going to help me feel better in my lower back pain and my upper back pain? So I just either I'll do research or I'll send a message and just say, hey, what do I need to do for this?
That's awesome.
So,
yeah, because you don't have to just sit there and feel sorry for yourself either. You know, like you can seek out answers for your body. It is your body, you know, so.
Right.
And you know it better than anybody else. Right. That's the other thing. And I mean, when I say you, I mean, as a like whoever's listening, you know your body the best. You can definitely seek out those answers just like Melissa has, and you can, you know, experience a self-practice like she said, just getting on your on the floor and like practicing and working towards like you want your forearms on the floor, your elbows on the floor, whatever it is, like eventually if you work on it you can get there. And it's not a mindset of like, oh, I better, or I can't wait. It's more like, I'm going to enjoy the journey and it'll happen when it happens.
Right.
So exactly. Do you have any words of advice for anybody who wants to start a yoga journey?
Try not to get hung up on your limitations. Try to learn what your limitations are. Like if, you know, like with me, I have a lot of little limitations throughout my body. I have kyphosis, which means I have hunchback. Because of that, also, my chest is really tight and I work on trying to open up my shoulders all the time. Like even laying here on the ground in my closet, I'm trying to stretch my arms back. So that way I'm still working on it, even though I'm not working on it, so to speak. But you know, like know your limitations, but don't let them be a limitation. Like be aware, like, oh, I broke my ankle in 2009. Okay, that's why I'm not doing tap dancing lessons right now, you know, and that's why I'm trying to take care of myself. I know that limitation, but that doesn't stop me from being able to sit on the floor and do postures and stretches that strengthen my legs, strengthen my back, strengthen my hips. You know, I can still do things to even work my upper body while sitting on the ground or laying on the ground. So just know your limitations, but don't let them be a limitation. And you can always use props to help you, pillows, blocks, blankets, even a chair, whatever you need to help yourself get over, like, get over that roadblock of thinking that your limitation is a complete limitation. Like, you cannot do it.
Yeah, I love that. Try to work with it. Thank you for sharing that advice. That was great. I'm sure it'll help somebody for sure.
Thank you.
Do you have any, like, last words on the topic of being fat?
You know, it took me a long time to get where I am. And I wish that I knew someone when I was younger that even if it was an aunt or a friend that would just not have shoved diet culture down my throat and tell myself that I need to be thin in order to be accepted or loved. You are loved. You are accepted. It doesn't matter what
you look like. It doesn't matter what your body is like. Look at yourself in the mirror, look at your eyes, and understand that there's a kindness and a love behind it, and that you deserve that kindness and love from others. If you're not getting that from others, you need to get that bad people, those bad people out of your life if you can, or try to search for the positive. As far as being a fat person, I love and accept myself. I understand that not everybody is in the same boat, but I hope that one day you can find that inner peace that tells you that the number on the scale is not your worth. You are worth so much more to other people than what that number says. And that's where I'm going to end it.
I had my hand over my heart and just closing my eyes and listening to your words. And I was just soaking them up, because I feel like that message needs to be heard to so many people, because like you just don't realize you're in it until you're in it for years, decades.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So we've gotten to the last part of the podcast, the five favorites. So for the first one, what is your favorite meal? Any particular breakfast food? Okay. You're like,
all of it.
Savory. I'll take it all.
I like one of my favorite things, and it's going to sound so cliche, is pancakes from Denny's.
Yeah.
I think they're so good. But I mean, I like quiche. I like frittatas. I like French toast. I like waffles. I like pancakes. I even used to like bacon before I became a vegetarian. Vegan sausage is okay. Vegan bacon is gross. take my word for it. but I love scrambled eggs. I can eat like even just hard-boiled eggs, or like oatmeal, or grits. I even like grits. Grits are good. Like with a little bit of salt and sugar. Oh, so good. But I mean, almost anything that you can classify as a breakfast food. I'm all over it.
What's your favorite TV show?
Yeah. Ooh, that's hard. Probably, you know what? I'll say like my gut reaction is Futurama. But right now we're watching The Office and I'm really enjoying it. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like a favorite.
You're watching it for really the first time, like on Netflix?
But for the,
oh my God,
for the first time ever, I'm watching it and I am loving it. I mean, it is so hilarious. It's amazing. I can't get over Dwight Schrute. He's hilarious.
I love him so much.
And how much Jim messes with him.
All of it. Yes.
It's the episode that we just watched yesterday was the one where Jim ends up sending him the gaydar at the end because Oscar just, you know, they just came out that Oscar was gay. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, when he swipes it over himself and he's just like conflicted.
It's like so classic and so amazing.
It was so silly.
What's your favorite book?
My favorite book. Now that is a hard one. It's going to sound really weird because I haven't read it in a long time, but I've read it a few times, is Robert Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a sci-fi background.
What's your favorite Instagram account?
Yeah. I don't even think I'm gonna like lie. It's probably yours. Like I'm sitting here trying to think if there's anybody else that like.
Okay.
I also like Bethany Clough. She's really awesome. Oh, okay. She writes for the Fresno Bee, and she posts a lot of pictures of food and her cats. And I like cats. She's really cool. I love seeing your stuff. You. I love your energy on your Instagram.
Like, I wish I had the confidence to be a like a public account, but I'm always like, what if somebody sees my pictures and says something about like I'm not eating right, or
It's,
I just
I
get
mean,
so
it's
nervous.
so true. And I don't think I posted it to Instagram, but I posted it to TikTok. Maybe I did. I can't remember. But of me like eating something in the car and enjoying it and being a fat person doing it, it's just very taboo. It's unfortunately, that's what our culture is.
Right, and I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm one of those people
Oh,
that drops
yeah.
food on my shirt like all the time. Like, I totally, even whenever I was a kid, even when I wasn't
Yeah.
not necessarily considered like obese, and I was just a chubby kid, I've always been kind of a messy eater. Like,
Yeah.
the joke has always been that I have a hole in my lip. But I don't like just all of a sudden I'll joke and I'll just be like, ah, must be a successful meal. Mills dropped food on her shirt.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I have a lot of shirts that
Oh
have like a
yeah.
little tiny like grease stain on it,
I
and I'm always like,
know. I
oh, I
hate it
can't
when
wear you
that
in public
happens.
anymore.
And then the last favorite is favorite way to spend the
Yeah.
day off.
Like, absolute
Oh,
favorite would be like going to
yes.
Disneyland. I actually cried the other day because I was going, "Listen,
I
I'm gonna
know.
go
We got season
to
passes last year and we had gone in October,
That's my dream.
November, December, and then February. So we went four times, right? So I mean, we got a lot of use out of them. And we would just go for like one night, you know what I mean? And we would
Yeah.
just kind of do a turnaround trip now that we live in Fresno versus living in the Bay Area, because that's where we're originally from. So it's like so close, right?
Okay.
And then now that this happened, I'm like, even if they open up the park, like what kind of restraints and constrictions are they gonna have for us? Like, are we even gonna enjoy the park? Like, it's a
Yeah.
little bit scary to think about, so
Yeah. I know. I like John the other day. He was like, "I'm gonna put it on Fresh Baked, which is this group on YouTube I like to watch where they just go to Disneyland." He's like, "I'm gonna put it on Fresh Baked so
yeah.
it'll cheer you up." And I'm just sitting there going, "I'm
Yeah.
happy," crying.
Yeah. I
I
know.
am so happy. It was just making me so sad thinking, like, I was going to John. We were planning on going February this next year because it'll be before William turns three
Yeah.
and Philip will be just turning five. And we thought, well, that's a good time to
Yeah.
go because William will get in free still. Like, the last time we'll be
For
able to go,
sure.
William goes for free. And who knows if this is going to be
I know.
what's going to be happening? Like, it feels so
I
like,
know.
I don't know how to, like,
I know.
I don't even know how to describe it. It's like you feel like your
Yeah.
heart is waiting to beat or something. Like something feels like it's missing
Yeah.
and it just doesn't feel right. Like we've been
Right.
going to Disneyland since we were kids. And I mean, I went a whole bunch in high school and a few times, like several times throughout the years since high school. And it just feels so weird to live in a world that
Yeah,
Disneyland
that's
isn't
how I'm
open.
feeling too.
I feel you,
And then
sister.
any last words about anything we talked about today? Anything you want to share with anybody? Any last words of advice?
If you want to find me on Instagram and talk about anything in particular, I mean, you can go to Mill Unloaded, you can go to Jams by Melissa, just tell me you found me through Tiffany and the podcast. And if you ever want to talk about your childhood and maybe you think one of your parents might have been a narcissist and you just want to run some things by me or, just vent about things that shouldn't have been said or done to you. I'm always around. I can always take a message. I can always talk, if for some reason it's just like I tell my grandma, I am here for you unless I'm sleeping,
Yeah.
and then I'll be here for you in 8 hours. Like I'm always
open to talk to anybody. I'm always open. I always feel like you need to have your heart open to people. I feel like you can miss out on so many experiences if you just walk around closed off from everyone. So I just try to stay as open as possible, as welcoming as possible. If you have any questions, you just want to chat with somebody because you're feeling lonely or sad, or maybe you're happy and you want to tell me that awesome thing that happened today.
Yeah, that's great. You can search for me. I appreciate you saying that because, some people are unsure about those kinds of things. And to have somebody who's been through it and can, like, offer a little bit of advice or just a shoulder, that's amazing.
I try to be there for people, even if I don't know you.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for being there for people. And then also for sharing your stories and your time for today. I appreciate it so much. And your story is so relatable. And
absolutely.
I will definitely be excited to be releasing this episode. So, So thank you. And
awesome.
Hopefully see you one day, someday soon. I know.
Hopefully, I want to get a hug. I mean, we can elbow bump someday.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. Bye. You too. Thanks again, guys, for listening. You are an amazing fat yogi, and I hope that today's episode inspires you to go out and be that amazing fat yogi that I know you are. And if you have a chance, please go check out our guest today. And don't forget, we have a retreat coming up June 26th through the 28th, so be sure to check that out on namastetogetherfresno.com. Thanks again, and have an amazing week.